all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, thank you, Don, but that's not entirely correct. Let's call it our Lake Michigan studios here in downtown Milwaukee, where I'm traveling for Up North News on this Tuesday, August 1st. Welcome back to our second hour. If you missed the first hour, you missed my entire tale of woe about losing my voice entirely over the weekend, and it is coming back slowly, although I almost feel it fading by the minute as I go on here. So God bless Kristen Lyerly for agreeing to stick around and help me visit with the folks from Motherhood for Good, who are going to be talking about why this Tuesday, August 1st is such a special day. But before we get to that, I just wanted to note that August 1st, first Tuesday in August, is also National Night Out Day. It's a time to promote police and community partnerships in neighborhoods all across the country, focusing on the community, raising awareness through camaraderie and partnerships, improving area relationships as one way to make our neighborhoods safer. So in communities throughout Wisconsin, events are going on. We just hope that those all go extremely well. And if you've never been to one, hope you get a chance to attend one later on today. But again, back to what today is for a lot of other people. You could say a better Wisconsin begins today, because this is the day that a new justice hops onto the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Janet Protasiewicz will mark a new era, a return to normalcy after years of political activism by far-right justices. And so we're going to discuss the significance for Wisconsinites in our next half hour with Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard, but also we're our friends from Motherhood for Good, who are here, Danielle Lynn and Aaron Phillips, who are here. And again, along with the vocal glitches, we might have a little internet glitch here and there with our Milwaukee connection, so please pardon that as well. But Danielle and Aaron, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. We're so happy to be here on this. I was telling Danielle before we got on, the best first day of August that I can remember celebrating.
Definitely.
It's a really special one today.
Yeah, definitely get that impression here. And it's not just, I mean, we'll certainly talk about the court and where things go from here, but we want to take this segment to really talk about how that got to happen. It happened because of the activism of all kinds of people, a lot of them moms, who had never really been involved much before, and decided to step up. And I'm sure, Aaron and Danielle, that was you at one point, along with several other people who were extremely busy between January and April. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly as you said, it was a lot of people really stepping up to the plate, realizing the significance of this election, what was at stake. We'll speak more specifically about that, I'm sure, as the conversation rolls on. But stepping out of their comfort zone a little bit and going, this is crucial to maybe a level that they didn't see in any other election. We could hem and haw about whether that's true. But people saw something, I think, really different in this election and saw the chance to, as you were speaking to earlier, kind of re-navigate the ship. Right? Reorient the ship of Wisconsin a little bit to really set things in the right direction. And just the response across the state was astounding. I mean, and obviously the results spoke to how fully this state wanted to stand up and say, this is enough, and here's a place where we can make some significant change.
Totally. And, you know, think about in the last decade, how many people were turning out for these off year, even like the primary, like think about how many people turned out and voted in that primary that never would have thought of voting in anything but a presidential, you know, less than 10 years ago. So you can definitely feel the shift. You can feel people really embracing the idea that politics is a part of everyday life. We should not keep it in this little box. You know, it affects every aspect of our lives in such an just a basic way. We need to keep it a part of our lives. We need to be engaged in every election. And I think that this was just a great example of when we do that, when we make it clear to people how important it is to be involved, that we can make a difference, you know, and even in the little ways as sharing things on your Instagram as we, you know, encourage our followers to do, or talking to people in your everyday life and getting people to come to the polls with you. Like, it can be as simple as that. And once you, you know, get out of that, like, ooh, I don't know if this is in my comfort zone, like, you can see the real change happening. And we definitely saw that in this election. And we're just really excited about how it went.
You are so right, Danielle. Politics is in every part of our lives. Like, we're seeing it in school boards. We're certainly seeing it in our healthcare, like every aspect of what we do. And, you know, Erin, you mentioned that people are stepping out and finding their voices. How did you guys find your voice? Like, where did Motherhood for Good come from? We only have a minute left, but we can definitely continue to talk about this after our break. But for starters, hey, how did you find your voice?
That's such a great question. And of course, our founding leader, the founder of the organization, is typically on the program and isn't this week. But Kate Duffy, of course, is the founding member of Motherhood for Good. This was her brainchild. And it started out of a response that she felt she needed to do something she had never done before following the Uvalde shooting. You know, she didn't want to feel powerless, basically. So she started this group. It coincided with Mandela Barnes' Senate campaign, and the five of us somehow find each other. So
there you go. Good start. It's something we'll continue on the backside of the break, along with our weatherology forecast update coming up right after this. You're up north. Welcome to a new day in Wisconsin, and we'll talk more about today's swearing-in of Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But first, let me tell you that in sports, the Milwaukee Brewers lost to the Washington Nationals 5-3 last night for their fourth straight loss. They also tumbled out of first place in the National League Central Division. They will pick up that series in the nation's capital starting again later this evening. Jennifer Wojcicki is here from Weatherology, who has a forecast and a voice that isn't nearly as rocky as my voice has been. At least I think so. I hope we have something not nearly as gravelly in our weather forecast for the state. That's going to tell us all about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, not quite as rocky for me today. But yeah, we're looking at some sunshine or areas of haze and smoke coming in here for today, particularly around Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, over towards Oshkosh due to more Canadian wildfires. So definitely something to keep in mind today, especially if you have respiratory issues. Otherwise, looking at highs in the mid 80s for everyone, sunny skies as well. Wednesday, temperatures linger in the mid to upper 80s, sunny skies for the southern part of the state, then a little bit more cloud cover with a chance for showers and storms from Oshkosh up towards Wausau and over towards west central Wisconsin. Mid to upper 80s primarily for Thursday, 90 around Richland Center and the southwestern portions of the state with sunny skies for most, just a slight chance for an isolated rainstorm around Wausau. Then back into the mid to low 80s here for more of an average time of the year on Friday. Upper 70s, a little bit closer to Lake Michigan. Sunny skies for most, but some clouds moving in from Amory and Baldwin down towards Richland Center, so for that western part of the state. And then it looks like at least a slight chance for some rain to start off the weekend on Saturday with temperatures lingering right around about 80.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
No problem.
There's Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology, and happy to say that the latest crop report shows that soil moisture is eking back up and that crops are progressing only slightly behind last year and a five-year average, but we'll need that rain to continue in spurts for that to continue to be a good year for Wisconsin's producers. All right, back to our topic here of it being a new day in Wisconsin with our friends Erin and Danielle from Motherhood for Good and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us as well to talk about how we got to this point, Kristen.
Yeah, so before we start talking about Janet, before the break, we were talking about what has inspired us to get involved. And over during the secret show on Facebook, we were talking about, you know, sharing our own personal stories. So Erin and Danielle, tell us, what was it? What was that thing for you personally that inspired you to step up?
You know, I'm a Wisconsin native. I was born here. I moved to Chicago for a bit and then Indiana for a bit and then came back with my husband and my now three kids. And I've always been, you know, fairly politically engaged, you know, always a voter, even in off elections. But there was something about the midterms last year that really felt like really important to get involved. And especially now that I'm, you know, raising my kids here and just wanting to make sure that it can be the best state and the best country possible for them. And I was actually on maternity leave. My son was born last July. So I was on maternity leave last summer and just started following, you know, Kate and Moms for Mandela at the time. And just wanting to really, really get involved with that. And we just built such a great community, both online and, you know, our small but mighty, like, local leaders. And it just felt like there's so much here, like everything that we did, even though that election did not turn out the way that we wanted it to, the way that it should have, mm-hmm. You know, we just needed to build on that momentum and showing people, you know, that the little ways that you can make a big impact in your own communities, and just like, yeah, find your voice to get engaged, you know, and make a change.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Erin?
So I am still a fairly new Wisconsinite. I moved here almost exactly a year ago, July of last year. And prior to having moved here, I went to undergrad in Wisconsin. I went to Beloit College. So my love for Wisconsin runs deep, but I'm from New Mexico. So moved here with my husband last year and our kiddo. My husband grew up in Milwaukee. And ahead of our move, I had been following Moms for Mandela. Again, as Danielle mentioned, at the time iteration that started Motherhood for Good. So I was following Moms for Mandela, knowing that we'd be moving to Wisconsin right ahead of, as Danielle was pointing out, these crucial midterm elections. So similarly, I've always been politically minded, never engaged to this level. Always, yeah, stayed informed and voted and tried to talk to my friends and family about doing the same, but never, as we're talking about, really stepped out of my comfort zone to kind of get out there in my community, be that in person or virtual, and talk and have dialogue about this, and try to make it less hush-hush, to try to make it more comfortable for people to speak about, to try to make people feel comfortable informing themselves, not being afraid that maybe they don't, you know, maybe they don't know something and so they shouldn't talk about it. Like, let's talk about it. As Danielle was mentioning earlier, you know, it affects every part of our life. So let's let it be it in every part of our life, because it's going to be whether we sort of engage with it or not. So anyway, back to my move here, I met Kate and the crew. And as, you know, Danielle said, that first midterm election that I was here for didn't go in the direction we wanted, but then we kind of immediately hit the ground running preparing for April's election. And boy, did those results turn out the way we did want. So it's been really incredible. Just couldn't ask to have gotten to know a better team of people to like help usher me into my Wisconsin era.
Did those results turn out the way we needed them to turn out? I mean, come on, let's celebrate. It's August 1st.
Absolutely.
Here we are anticipating Justice Janet Protasiewicz. We couldn't even say her last name a year ago, but now she's on the Supreme Court later today. What do you think? Pat, it looks like you have a question that you are queuing up. It's just so exciting for all of us to be here, to be, you know,
well, sure,
the future.
We can talk about, you know, what it will mean for her on the court, but I didn't want to leave the involvement of these individuals without talking about how it wasn't that unique. In other words, you all found more kindred spirits, and that's reflected in the trends that you saw in counties, in the historic turnout. You know, it seemed like the ultimate act of learning, I'm not alone. How was that?
I think
Lynn, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Erin, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think that what we saw, exactly as you were saying, finding kindred spirits, finding people who cared and who wanted to see these results come through, we were seeing that, we were pushing, and so was every other organization, or sort of collective, right, who works to pursue progressive political work in this state. It's like everybody saw the specific sort of special nature of this election, and everyone pushed. And you can see, like you were saying, that collective effort throughout the state. And it's, when I think back to it, I'll like stop myself and think about it. It's really astounding.
It really is. And Danielle, you get that same sense?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, like you said, you're seeing the shifts in like, I live in Waukesha County, for example. Like the city of Waukesha went for Janet. Like we're feeling those. When you look at the map overall, which we can talk about the maps, but you know, it sometimes can feel like, oh, I'm in this, you know, like deep red, like I'll go vote, but like, I'm not going to, you know, change minds if I talk to my community, you know, like you might feel that, but if you really look at it, if you look at the data, like things are shifting, you know? And so it's important to stay engaged and to see that momentum in those directions, because it, you know, it just like you truly, even though it doesn't necessarily like, oh, every county's gonna flip blue overnight, like that's not what we're expecting, but watch the data move in that direction, and you can see that there really are people who are like coming out of the woodwork and being like, you know, my voice does matter in this area that might have been, you know, typically red or that kind of thing. Like you're finding those parts of the communities, and it's moving towards change, which is really exciting.
Your voice does matter. And I think a lot of us have felt like, oh, you know, my vote doesn't matter. It doesn't really make a difference if I show up or not, but it does. And that's what Motherhood for Good stands for. Moms standing together and using our voices. And Erin, I'm wondering, what do you think having Janet on the court will likely mean for the future of Wisconsin?
Hopefully all good things. No, so I just saw a headline that was reported that Justice Brian Hagedorn, apologies if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, I've only ever read it.
You're good.
You got it right.
Okay, great. So Justice Hagedorn is on the record saying that he believes just soon to be Justice Janet's position on the court will bring about a shift in judicial philosophy. And if there isn't a more profound sort of mark of the recognition that something is gonna change with her being on the court, I don't know what else to sort of look for it than in arguably, and at least often, conservative mind on the bench. So, you know, certainly we're likely to see litigation come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court about the abortion ban, about fair maps, about other sort of voting rights issues, like maybe ballot boxes will come back before the court. I think I read something about that. You know, there's all these issues that we've seen kind of whittled away at in Wisconsin that are likely to be brought back before the court by ongoing litigation in the state by really incredible lawyers who are like, who've been fighting the fight through this little legal system. And now we're gonna see some of those cases come back before the court now with this new progressive majority bench, which is amazing that we can say that Wisconsin has that again.
So can I ask, not to be the one that you know, smothers this, you know, or throws a wet blanket on it all, but do you feel like people are prepared to be patient? Because we've seen, I mean, look at the difference from 2008 to 2010, because not everything got fixed all at once. You had the Tea Party come in. And do you think people are better prepared? I mean, look, it's going to take 3+ years for, you know, Donald Trump and others to find any sense of accountability. So if things don't change instantly, and by instantly, I mean next November, 2024, you know, when there's a presidential election, do you think people will be prepared for that? Or are you really hoping if we don't see fast action, we might lose a window of opportunity?
You know, I think that that's a really good point, Pat. And I think it all comes down to those conversations that we're having with people. You know, like things don't change on a dime. But when we are seeing this progressive action and you're seeing little things that are making a difference, I think that we can use that to keep people motivated and just remind people that, you know, we like our democratic system it doesn't work overnight, but I mean, that's kind of part of it, right? Like, we're all working together towards these common goals, and to just keep people engaged and to keep people excited about what's to come is really, I think, what's on our list for going into 2024.
Well, you couldn't find better people to keep people engaged.
Nobody understands baby steps better than moms.
That is a very good point.
That's exactly it. Danielle Lynn, Aaron Phillips, thank you so much. Kristen, thank you very much for hanging around too. I really appreciate you helping to lighten the load.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. And
thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Everyone. Coming up next, state Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard will help us continue the subject right after this. You're Up North. It does kind of have that feeling around Wisconsin this morning as the sun rises down here over Lake Michigan.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Justice Janet Prosewitz will formally take that title later this afternoon at the state capitol in Addison, where the Senate Democratic leader is State Senator Melissa Agard. And she joins us now to talk about both Janet Protasewicz's swearing in and other goings on in the legislature. Senator, good morning. So nice to see you.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you here today. It feels super historic for the Midwest. I've never looked forward to an August 1st more.
Yes. And can we start by, I would contend, putting people at ease, because despite all of the blather that's come from certain corners, this actually is going to represent, I believe, a return towards something that's more normal compared to what we've seen from the previous iterations of the Wisconsin Supreme Court over the past 15 years. Would you agree?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think that the voters of Wisconsin thought long and hard about who it is that they wanted to put in the seat. And it's clear that having someone who's pragmatic and lifting up the values, ensuring that the laws in Wisconsin are being interpreted to match the values and their intent is so important. So yes, today is an exciting day where Judge Janet becomes Justice Protasewicz here in Wisconsin. And I was recently in DC. All eyes are on us. There is no question about that, as people are watching how it is that having a more fair and balanced court will impact democracy here in the Midwest.
I'm glad you said that, because it's one of those things we got asked all the time back in 2020, saying, where'd your name come from? And we said, well, it's because all of America is looking up north for news, because we are such a bellwether about how elections go. And that can be said for Supreme Court races as well as presidential races. Now, in this case, while Wisconsin is still what you would call a purple state, the margin was not as close as, you know, presidential, Senate, and gubernatorial races. As you look back on April, we've had much more time to digest the numbers. Why do you think that was? Was it simply turnout on one side exceeding another? Or what does it say about independent-minded people who were making their decisions last April?
Well, you know, abortion is still front and foremost in voters' minds. And I do think the fact that people feel and know that their rights and freedoms and liberty are on the line here in the state of Wisconsin, knowing the difference between the two candidates, one of them is going to have the backs of their personal freedoms and liberty, and one of them is going to stand in the way and hide behind political ideologies. And I think it is a good trend. In Wisconsin, we know that progressive-minded folks, and in fact, the middle-of-the-road voters, are leaning more towards Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin when we look at top-of-the-ticket elections, because Republicans have been in the pockets of special interest groups and doing their bidding in the state capitol. And frankly, it's affected our courts in Wisconsin as well. So knowing that Justice Protasewicz, soon to be Justice Protasewicz, is going to lift up those values, it just matches the continuing trend of election results in Wisconsin, which I think is really exciting for 2024. It's going to be an amazing year here. Real change potentially happening in our state. And knowing that the road back to the White House for President Biden and Senator Baldwin is so imperative to people paying attention. More people are listening to radios, reading newspapers, and frankly, reaching out to their elected officials so that their values are represented in our government.
I'm going to repeat the question that I asked the our friends from Motherhood for Good just before the end of the last segment, but then kind of turn the question around on you. What I asked of them is, are people who helped elect Janet Protasiewicz, are they willing to be patient because not everything is going to be addressed and fixed by this state Supreme Court instantly? It's going to take some time for these cases to be heard and things like that. But I would turn around to say to you, especially in terms of new maps, do you believe that everybody involved understands what I would call the urgency of the matter and what a blow it would be if a new maps case isn't decided in time for the 2024 election? Or do you think the odds of that are just too small to worry about?
Oh, the odds are not too small to worry about. You know, ultimately, if people want cannabis legalized in Wisconsin, as it is today in Minnesota, being the first day that cannabis is legal, continuing the trend of the Midwest, of Wisconsin being a island of prohibition in the Midwest, or abortion access, or access to quality health care, or child care, or paid family leave, right? The list is long, addressing gun violence. There is a lot on the line. We need to get this right. And I have a lot of hope in the case that is being put together by Law Forward. I think they have the best people at the table. And I also believe very much that we have a more thoughtful court coming in. There's been a number of stories recently about Justice Hagedorn and his independence, despite who it is that was endorsing him and putting him in that spot. So here in Wisconsin, we like to get things done right. Yes, there is a lot on the line. It is hard to be patient. I think there's a lot of us in Wisconsin that feel like Charlie Brown with Lucy holding that football and it keeps getting yanked out. And I believe that 2024 is the year that we're actually going to get some field goals across the finish line.
So to that end, on August 1st and legal cannabis in Minnesota, as well as Michigan and Illinois, you recently made a few more stops on what you call your grassroots tour, telling the public and getting public opinion about the issue of marijuana legalization. Since we talked to you, you've made stops in the Chippewa Valley, in the Wausau area, I'm sure others as well. What kind of sentiment did you get from folks?
You know, people are baffled by the fact that this has turned into a partisan issue. It is clear across the United States that it is something that Democrats and Republicans all want done. And the majority of the people in Wisconsin, including the majority of Republicans, want it done. The fact that we are an island of prohibition, and after today in Minnesota, having it legalized as they are starting to roll out their legal sales program. And we have a number of sovereign nations in Minnesota who in August are going to unroll legal sales. I believe that the Red Cliff are going to have sales available today for legal cannabis. The majority of the people in Wisconsin are going to live within just mere minutes of legal dispensary, less than 2 hours to be able to get to one. We are less safe. There is less personal freedoms and frankly, less prosperous because of the inability of Republicans to hear the voices of the people of Wisconsin. And also what I heard on the tour is that people want it done right. They don't want political tricks. They want to make sure that we are addressing racial disparities, that we're supporting our local farmers and our main streets. And certainly making sure that we are lifting up the voices of what people want, ensuring that people have access to this plant that does provide medicinal relief to them is at the front and foremost as well. So getting government out of the way for the passing of legal cannabis, as well as getting government out of the way for so many other issues. You might think that I'm a Republican when I'm saying these words, but frankly, it is the Republican Party that is standing in the way of people's ability to have access to cannabis and so many other issues that matter most to them at their kitchen tables for their families.
We got one text in, folks probably using the Civic Media app, who texted and basically just says, something that leads into a question about polling on this. They say nobody wants pot legal. And I think what you have here is a case where Republican legislators, again, live in a smaller bubble, that if you were to talk to more people around the state, you'd see that this is not, you know, that people frankly do want this to be done. They don't want Wisconsin to be an island.
Well, certainly we've had non-binding referendum questions across the state of Wisconsin for the last 5 or so years. Red communities, cities and counties, as well as blue communities, cities and counties, on top of the Marquette Law School polls and other public opinion polls, show that nearly 70% of the people in Wisconsin support full legalization for responsible adult usage. And, you know, regulation is a good thing. It makes everything be safer. And over 80% of the people in Wisconsin support medicinal cannabis legalization. So I would say that, in fact, it is the vast minority of people in Wisconsin. I think at a federal level, it's about 10% of the people in the nation believe that we should still have prohibition of cannabis. That means that, you know, we are on the right side on this issue. And unfortunately, I disagree with your texter, your listener, and the majority of the people in Wisconsin, including the majority of Republicans, disagree. It is past time we do legalize cannabis in the state of Wisconsin.
And so are you saying then, even though the odds don't look good, that the Republican majority would change their mind anytime soon, that they should still be hearing from their constituents on this issue?
Well, you know, with the fact that the maps are very likely to be changing in Wisconsin, I think that we're going to see the Republicans thinking a little bit harder and listening a little bit more intently to what it is that their constituents, their bosses are saying. And cannabis legalization is on a list of many things, whether it's expanding healthcare, allowing a woman's right to choose and personal freedoms for healthcare choices, gun violence, supporting our public schools, protecting our environment. I could go on and on. These are things that people in Wisconsin want us to be doing as a legislature. They are not partisan issues. And I am excited about what 2024 is going to bring us.
Before we get there, we have a fall session scheduled, at least for fall of 2023. Governor Evers made partial vetoes to the state budget bill, signed the bill, left a hefty surplus behind, and invited Republicans to work on some of the unaddressed issues related to things like childcare and making, you know, doing another tax cut, but making it geared more toward the middle class. What indications do you see that there will be any kind of a substantive fall session? Could we actually overcome my cynicism and see something new in terms of a modified tax cut or more support for childcare or other issues?
Well, we know that our public schools certainly need more support. We know that we need to be investing in our youngest friends and neighbors here in Wisconsin and their families, providing more support for childcare for hardworking families and businesses to be able to have workers. You know, frankly, we know that Governor Evers provided a plan, a path for real middle-class tax relief. And I will continue going into the Capitol building. I'm confident in the hard work that I'm going to put in and that my caucus members are going to put in to be able to get across this finish line, that $4 billion that continues to sit in the state coffers is the people of Wisconsin's money. And it does belong back in our communities. And I think that we can get it done. But it's going to take the majority party to realize that it's past time. You know, we can't play these political tricks. And frankly, with the investiture of Janet Protasiewicz today, I am hopeful that we are turning that corner. Well, that's some of that good work will happen.
And then briefly, just to end on a positive note here, because again, we talked about some folks in the last segment who got involved in politics for the first time, just to help with these last elections in April and the previous November. We talked about them being patient, but what's your own message to them just for their willingness to even get involved and to be more civic minded than they might've been in the past?
Well, you know, oftentimes when it comes to politics and change in general, it is hard to believe that one person can make a difference, but the power of one cannot be replaced. And government is supposed to be slow and sticky and deliberative. And when it's moving fast down a slide on a, like going down a slide on a hot day, that's not necessarily good for the people. It's not good for the community. So not giving up, continuing to believe in the better angels of our state and the power of each person coming together collectively. That's what Wisconsin is about. We build each other's barns. We take care of each other's kids. We walk each other's dogs. We get mail when we're out of town for our neighbors. And we vote in every single election and believe in the potential. And that's where we're at right now. There's an awful lot of potential and excitement for what's coming for Wisconsin.
Senator Melissa Agard, State Senate Democratic leader, joining us on this very special first day of August. Thank you so much, Senator. Appreciate it very much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right. And when we come back, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from up in Bow Falls Radio. We'll find out what he's talking about up on Bow Falls Radio in Wausau, and wrap up our day Tuesday here from Milwaukee. A little hobbled, but you know, right side of the dirt, always a good thing. Back after this. You're up north.
The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
I figured this was the appropriate music to read this promo. Autumn Sundays in Wisconsin are a sacred tradition that beats loud and proud, and that would include the Green Bay Packers. You've dreamed of being part of a winning franchise, and now you can. Civic Media's WRJN in Racine and Kenosha will broadcast every Packers game all season long, and your business can be in the huddle and on the line of scrimmage. See what they did there? When you become a sponsor of the Packer broadcasts, the Civic Media marketing teams are ready to get you signed up with the Packers, the Badgers, and local high school sports broadcasts. You can call and make an appointment to speak to a team member about this special opportunity, but hurry because appointments are filling fast. Only a few sponsorships remain. The number to call is 608-819-8255. Again, 608-819-8255. Your business can be affiliated with the real America's team. So get your business off the sidelines and get in the game. One more time, 608-819-8255. Speaking of sports and high school sports as well, Chad Holmes joins us. August 1st is a big day all around. It's not just the state Supreme Court race. It's not just sports. Bow Falls Radio is 1 year old today. Up North News Radio is 1 year old today. Chad, somebody should have brought a cake.
I absolutely. And first of all, it was nice talking to you after that promo.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steal some of those lines when I talk about, you know, trying to get on board for our high school stuff around here. But no, it is. It's actually 1 year. I remember 1 year ago today, you were one of the first shows that when we made the flip. And obviously, whenever you sell a radio station or, you know, have changes, you hear things for the first time. And we got on 1 year ago today. My show didn't start until after Labor Day, but it was for the first time, Bow Falls Radio. And then you hear from all the people that didn't like it. Because as you know, it's nothing about the programming, but when you change the people that were listening to the previous incarnation of the radio station, no matter what it is, where did my radio station go?
So exactly.
Again, it's always, those are always the fun days to pick up the phone.
Those were happy times that everybody was watching the same show in one theater, and you come in and go, the next show is going to start soon. Get out or stick around if you want this show. But if you don't want this show, you know, you'll have to find. I'm sure many of those folks are here now, having heard you doing, a live daily show rather than, simply sports. And I don't mean that in any kind of a negative light, but that you've expanded your range in such a way to provide such an essential, voice to the community, one that wasn't heard nearly as often as it should be compared to, shall we say, other points of view. So I would hope you'd think of that a year into this, it has been a rewarding experience.
It has been. It's been very interesting. In fact, we're just talking to one of our engineers who was up here because we had some issues yesterday. And we're talking exactly about that it's different than anything I'd done before. I'd done, sort of the generic morning show, but
time and temperature.
Throw a song or two in there and, talk about the headlines and stuff like that. But nothing like this where you talk to interesting people and you talk about, somewhat controversial issues. And my dealings with schools have been through sports for the most part, and then to have, you know, major issues with consolidation and with a band teacher and everything else going on, it's been an interesting first year. Looking forward to year number two, looking forward to getting downtown and taking those next steps as we continue this process.
Yes. And, you know, one thing that we've really had to appreciate a year into this is, first off, what a significant investment is being made in acquiring these radio stations just to build the network. But then behind the scenes, you know, the technology issues, building entirely new studios and getting them wired, you know, that does not flip a switch. You flip a switch and change a name, you can change ownership, but it's going to be a while to get the Wausau studio done. Then they've got to start Chippewa Falls, which looks beautiful. They've remodeled an old building, and, you know, all the furnishings are there, but to get the control board wired and everything, that's going to be down the road a ways. But again, if you think of the long-term plans here, it's still fascinating to be at the ground floor, despite those days that have their technical glitches and things like that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of worry at times, because especially when, you know, we have mobile broadcast coming up with our three football teams coming up in a few weeks. And we have some changes with equipment, and, you know, I just start worrying right now for the next 3 weeks. But it's still, you know, an exciting time. It's always a growing time, and that's always the aspect, because, you know, you don't want to be stagnant, and it feels like we're still growing and growing and growing and adding more things, and it should be very interesting over the next year or so.
Well, yeah, and I remember feeling that same way before every election night at the TV station, because we were using a computer program for the graphics that would take the numbers in and put them up on screen, one that was well past its prime. I don't even think was supported by the company anymore, and so I kind of had to become the master of it and to learn it all at the same time that other things would be going on as well. And I remember telling my bosses 1 year, you better get some chalkboards ready, because we might have to write those numbers on a chalkboard, because, you know, the show must go on. People need their sports. They need their election results. They need their news.
It reminds me of an old episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, one of the first episodes in the first season, where they had an election night where their computers went down. This is like the early 70s, of course. And they had to stay on the air. With no, they had like 1% of the numbers, and basically saying the numbers are still the same because there was a blizzard and everything got knocked down. And no, exactly right. The show must go on. And that's always the bottom line and the mantra, even though it takes 12 years off your life over one night.
No doubt about that. So getting back to where we started, is this the first day of high school football practice?
Yes, it is. And it's a very exciting time. This is where all the 11-man football teams, they get their equipment. They have their first practice today. In fact, I plan on heading over to Wausau West a little bit later on when I get done with my show, just to see how things are looking. And the first day of the new season, the first day of the new academic year, because obviously, the seniors are all gone. Everybody's coming back. School starting, about a month or so. But it's the beginning, and it's always a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and it keeps me young being around those kids out there.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, yes, those seniors are gone, but now there's some new seniors. And exactly. You're going to be talking about the top 50 senior football players in all of Wisconsin.
That's right, and a couple of Wausau West players in there, so that's very exciting indeed. A couple of really impressive young men, and not only players, and that's one of the things that I love about being able to know these guys is one of those kids who's ranked 29th, Bryce Jaworski, he's going to be going to the U.S. Military Academy at the Army, play football and also be a cadet starting next year. So obviously much more than just a guy on the football field. You don't get into the academy, the Army, unless you are an outstanding young man. So great stories, and it's one of the things I really enjoy telling during the course.
I know full well that my son-in-law is was most recently equipment manager for the West Point football team before he moved to Western Michigan, and that's a huge honor. So I'm sure you're looking forward to talking about that. Chad, thank you so much. Have a great show.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, and thanks all of you, not just for listening, but for listening the way things went today. We'll try it again to do a better job tomorrow as I continue to recover. But in the meantime, stick around for more on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.